Winter is coming, and so are spoilers for Game of Thrones.
To the gates!
Any man dies with a clean sword, I'll rape his fucking corpse!
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is Kat, and I have with me Hanako, and we're like maybe 15 minutes off of watching the Battle of Winterfell, and we're pumped up. Oh my God, Hanako, what just happened? Like, what? Just what?
A lot of slaughter, violence. Followed by an amazing, awesome kill shot. So going into the episode, I was already prepared for heavy losses. So I knew, I was like, okay, I'm expecting this person to die. I'm expecting this person to die. We kind of talked about how we expected certain people to die and what they would be doing in the episode last week. So when those deaths came, I didn't cry as hard as I thought I would because at this point I'm numb, but it was still like, oh, my heart, like, oh my God, the way these characters died and just the battle itself and the stuff that happened, and I don't know.
So my first thing is that I'm very surprised that this battle was just one episode. I can't believe they concluded it in one go. Like, it feels too easy.
But it was an hour and 22 minutes.
I thought it was an hour 36.
It was 82 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, because whatever. It was an hour and with no commercials. And I can't believe they wrapped it up in one go. I was pretty shocked about that.
I don't think I could have wanted them to do a second episode. I mean, that was stressful and emotional enough. I mean,
it was
from the time the episode started. I was sitting in my chair, just kind of holding myself, like, okay, I was just bracing myself for stuff to happen, like from jump. So I'm kind of glad they gave us those first 10 minutes, because it's kind of like, it was kind of like they gave us time to prepare, but at the same time, it's kind of like, okay, I just want to get this over with. Just go on ahead and show me who you're killing and be done with it. But I think I needed those 10 minutes to kind of
orient yourself and stuff. Yeah, I thought more people would die. It makes sense who died that died, but I feel like the people who are gonna die, because I mean, yes, we had the battle with the White Walkers, but then there's another battle to come because Cersei, right? So yeah, we're still gonna have some people dying. But you got to see something that I really enjoyed them showing is men freaking out, because it was an intense battle. It didn't feel like they were gonna win, and I thought it was really not cool to see men freaking out or whatever, but just to see, like, not this stoic hero, I have it all together at all times man thing that they have going on. Like, guys freak out too. So I really enjoyed that.
If you think about what they were facing, like, how could you not freak out? And I think in that regard, I did appreciate them focusing on Grey Worm a little bit.
Yeah, that's mainly who I'm talking about, yeah.
You know, we've heard so much about the Unsullied, how they have no fear, they feel no pain, or they don't verbalize it. They're just really this unfeeling, mechanical type of army. So when they focused on Grey Worm's face and the way he was looking at what was going on, you know, I think they had lit the trenches by this point, and the walkers had, I don't know if they figured it out or if it was something the Night King kind of commanded them to do, but they started forming a bridge with themselves so that they could get over. And so they're starting to overtake the castle, and Grey Worm is just kind of looking. And I won't say that we saw actual, like, fear on his face, but you could see that this was something that he was not used to whatever emotions he was going through. He's not used to it, whether it was fear, whether it was panic, whether it was confusion. I think he was just really, because, I'm used to seeing zombies like the walkers on The Walking Dead who don't think they have no kind of intelligence. But the way that the White Walkers are, it's kind of like they're the Borg. They're a collective, and they have this one
person. Look at you making Star Trek references.
Who can control everything that they do, with just the thought of his mind. So it's like he did this one little thing, and they started walking forwards and making this bridge. And it was kind of like, how do you even begin to comprehend dead people who can think and who can strategize?
Yeah.
So I kind of like that we saw the fear. I like that we saw that we were reminded that the Hound has a natural aversion to fire.
Yes.
With him being with the Brotherhood and with Barrett Dondarrion, we kind of see that he, I won't say got used to the fire, but it didn't bother him that much. So when you see this big wall of fire on this big scale and you're fighting, you're fighting dead people and stuff, it's kind of like a repeat of what we saw at the Battle of Blackwater when he retreated. I like that they showed that, yes, he still has that PTSD and he's not going to be able to do what he set out to do, because the Hound is pretty much, he's a badass. And we know this, and he's used to killing people. He's admitted he likes killing people. But this is a situation that he's not prepared for. The same with Sam. Sam could have been in the crypts with everyone else, and he wanted to be brave and try to fight and, fight for his family and fight for his friends. But again, all of this coming at him, Sam is not a natural fighter. We all know this. So the fact that he was, he was trying and then he just didn't, he couldn't fight. I don't hold that against him, because not everyone can be brave in a situation like that. And we already know this about his character. So, yeah, I think if we would have had all of these people going to fight and, stepping up and becoming all these great fighters or whatever, it would have been a little real unrealistic. So I like the fact that they put those in there, those little, pieces in there to kind of show us, okay, this is the reality of battle. Some people are going to be able to fight. Some people are not.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. That was really good. I think some of the confusion with the way they filmed it kind of lessened it for me, because there was a lot of action going on and I couldn't tell who was dying, what was what. There was fog everywhere. Did we lose a dragon? I'm not really sure, right? Did we lose?
I believe we may have lost Rhaegal, but I'm not sure if he was dead or just injured.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So I wasn't sure of that, because they had like smoke and stuff like that. We put a Deadpool up on Sci-Fi Party Line, and a lot of people voted, and a lot of people that the people who thought would die. Everybody's first choice was Theon Greyjoy. Like, everybody knew that was coming.
I expected that one too. And I was still sad when it happened, and I was even more emotional about the way that it happened, because we've talked about this before, and I love Theon's character arc. Like, he literally went from somebody we couldn't, just couldn't stand, an annoyance, to being someone that we couldn't stand, hated, wanted dead. And then he started slowly kind of redeeming himself, trying to make up for the errors of his past. And so for him and Bran to have that exchange at the end, where he's trying to apologize to Bran, and Bran, same thing with Jaime. Bran was like, if you didn't do what you did, we wouldn't be where we are. And granted, nobody wants to be in a battle with the dead, but I think as far as advancing what happens in the story, I think, it was kind of one of those things, well, this is what had to happen. And so for Theon to get that reprieve from Bran, someone who, loved him and who he betrayed, I think it was a nice way to go out. I mean, Theon was the last man standing. All the other Ironborn was dead. He was still standing. He was trying to fulfill his promise that he would protect Bran. And I think Bran really, I don't know if he saw what was going to happen at the end. I think he knew that Theon was going to die, but I don't think he knew what was going to come afterwards. So I think Bran maybe just kind of resigned himself to being killed by the Night King, or he knew what was going to happen and how it was going to happen, and he was just letting things play out.
I couldn't tell that either, honestly. I could not tell if he knew Arya was going to do that. And boy, wasn't that a shocker, because we just saw... Huh?
I think maybe he did, because she killed him with the Valyrian sword. I mean, the Valyrian dagger that I think Bran gave her.
Maybe.
So he may have known that that was what was going to happen, that she would be the only person who could get close enough to the Night King to kill him.
Well, she,
and boy, did she.
Oh, my God. I mean, so first, let's get up to where, because first she was having a little horror movie thing going on where she was running from the dead and all this stuff. And I was just like, what's happening right now? This is lasting a little too long. And then number two, I was really impressed by how quietly she moved. But then there was just like, she had this damsel in distress kind of situation there. So she had a little bit of panic, which, you know, hey, everybody did in that situation. And then she sucked it up, and her and the Red Witch had a pep talk. And then somehow she knew to go out and stab the Night King, which I didn't think was going to happen that way, because we already had Lady Mormont die kind of the way Arya was going. And I did not see her death coming, but it was a good death. But so I thought they were going to kind of die the same way. But nope, Arya was just like, sleight of hand, bitch. Bye. Pew, pew. Well, and then that was it.
Well, I think they've been making like subtle references. And now that we know what happened at the end, when I think about the episodes, because I actually started watching Game of Thrones at 7 tonight. I watched the first two episodes and then went into the third episode because I wanted everything in my mind to be kind of fresh. So the thing with Arya was, when we first see her fighting at Winterfell, like, Arya is kicking ass. She is defeating whites right and left, and she's doing a great job. And then what happens is she gets overrun by a few of them, and one of them throws her and she hits her head. And that kind of knocks her momentum out, because of course she's probably fighting with a concussion by this point. She's been knocked. She's been knocked in the head. She's lost her staff that she had Gendry made for her. So right now she's not at 100%. She doesn't have her weapon. So basically she's trying not to get killed. She's trying to figure out a way to get another weapon in her hand, trying to figure out what the best course of action is. And so, you know, and then I think we kind of had to see that also, because her being in distress, even for a little bit, kind of snapped the Hound out of his stupor, out of his PTSD, because one of the things about the Hound, he has, you know, since the beginning of the series, really, if you really look at it, he's always been protective of both of the Stark girls, you know, even though he was the guard for Joffrey and for the Baratheons, he always treated Arya and Sansa, maybe not with kindness, but he, you know, it was a little gruff kindness. It wasn't, you know, mm-hmm. He always kind of looked out for them. And so the fact that he was way up here knowing that Arya was there, you know, he protected her when they were on the road. And I think we kind of needed to see her in a moment of need so that he could kind of snap out of it. Because I guess for him, it's like, okay, if she's in trouble, then I need to help, you know, because this is Arya. He was like, oh, you're a cold little bitch. I guess that's why you survived. Mm. And, you know, but then with all of that, with Arya's, you know, once Beric Dondarrion basically gives his life to save her, which we kind of figured was on my list.
Yep.
He doesn't have Thoros anyway. But, you know, I kind of wondered at first when Melisandre rode in and she took a look at Arya, and she and Arya kind of stared at each other for a long time. And this was right after she told Sir Davos, you know, don't worry about it. You don't have to execute me. I'll be dead before the dawn comes. And then she turned around and looked at Arya, and I was like, is she is Arya going to kill Melisandre? I thought that was what that significant look meant at first.
I have no idea what was going on with him. I personally don't know why she was there. I don't understand why she needed to walk off into the like horizon and die. I just don't understand her whole part.
I think that was part of whatever mission the Lord of Light gave her, and I we'll get to that because what the thing about her, I think she was there to kind of push things along. Like she said when she spoke to Varys back on Dragonstone, she said, "I still have a part to play in all of this." So, you know, she came in at a really weird time. Like she literally just walked through the woods, past the walkers. She lit the swords of the Dothraki, you know, which should have given them an advantage, but I don't know. Maybe it was just her way of being there. I don't know. I think her purpose from the Lord of Light was to ensure that that battle would be won. I mean, think about it. She was the one who brought back Jon Snow.
Mm-hmm.
And Jon Snow has been instrumental in a lot of this. And then for her to go back to Winterfell, knowing that both Jon and Davos told her not to show her face back there, she knew that she was potentially going to die. But I think because she already surrendered to death, she already knew, okay, this is the day I'm going to die, so I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. So whatever the Lord of Light was telling her or whatever, but that encounter with her and Arya, if you think about it, she's sitting there talking to Arya. Arya, at this point, she's scared. You know, realistically, she's scared because here she is. She's this trained fighter. She fought off a lot of them, and then she kind of got caught up. And, you know, now they're surrounded. And Melisandre says to her, just out of the blue, "What do we say to the God of Death?" And that was what Cyril Farrell taught her the first day they met when she started.
Right.
Not only that, if you think about the conversation that Gendry had, she asked Gendry, "What did they look like? What did they smell like? What do they fight like?" And Gendry's response to her was, "Death. They are death." So I think those two conversations kind of clicked in her mind that, okay, this White Walker army is death. But what do we say to death? Not today. And I think she knew at that moment, okay, this is what I need to do. She remembered what Jon said in the council meeting when they were discussing the battle strategy, that he's the leader. He's the one that made them all. So if they get to him, that's their best chance. And she knew he was going to go after Bran in the gods. So I think that's just kind of where it took her. And as far as her being able to sneak up on him, they also hinted at that in the first episode, because Jon was standing right there in that spot where Bran is, and Arya snuck up on him. And the first thing he said to her is, How did you walk up so quiet, or how were you so quiet? How did you sneak up on me?" And so it's kind of like we're focused on Bran and the Night King, and then all of a sudden you kind of hear a little bit of whisper, you know, from the wind, and that one general started to turn his head like what he noticed something. And I'm
no, his hair blew. His hair blew.
His hair blew, and then he turned around like, "What?" Because, of course, if your hair is blowing, that means that there's some motion. So he
I just thought it was a gentle breeze.
Trying to figure out what was going on. Huh?
I thought it was just a gentle breeze.
No. I think that was Arya.
I'm just being ridiculous.
The way that she came out, because, and I'm like, why did she yell? Because she could have totally got him if she didn't go, but I guess that's a fighter thing. I don't know. But, I mean, she got it done in the end. He grabbed her. She dropped the knife. And she still stabbed him. And it's like when she dropped the knife, he looked down like, oh. And then it was done. And, I mean, it was glorious because that was so not what I expected.
That was not what I, because I thought she was dead. I was just like, oh, no, no, no. No, not Arya. No, not today. So I was really scared for her, and for her to get him that way, it was just,
I was in shock. I did not think it would be it would conclude that fast, because I'm like, well, if the Battle of the White Walkers is over, what the hell else are they going to try to pull off in the next three episodes? That's going to be ridiculous. So,
here's the other thing. So when Melisandre was talking to her, Arya said, "You also told me that I would kill many people," or something like that. And Melisandre started naming eye colors: brown eyes, green eyes, and then Arya said blue eyes. Mm-hmm. And then that's when Melisandre said to her, "What do we say to the God of Death?" When the whites were trying to break into the room, and I think all of that clicked for Arya. You know, it's kind of like, "Oh, this is what I need to do. This is what my purpose is here."
Mm. Yeah, well, but she did it.
Expecting it, and when I saw her face appear, I just started yelling and screaming. I was
That's because my roommate and I, we're watching it together, and all we doing is yelling like it is the Super Bowl. It is insane how we had to rewind her part again and watch it over, and it was just like, because it was just really glorious, honestly.
Yeah,
you know, but there was another tension to me though, because I had, I guess, heard a few rumors on the internet, or maybe you guys suggested it, that Bran was going to be the Night King. And so I was wondering, Bran was so calm, that something was going to happen, or like, how was that going to be? You know, how was that going to work? And so I thought, because the Night King stood there for so long, that something magical transfer was going to happen. And then he started going for his sword, and I got confused, like, well, now wait a second, if he's going to kill Bran, what does that even mean now, if he's supposed to be the Night King? That was confusing to me too,
because at first when he walks up to Bran and he looks at him, and then Bran just stares at him. And you know, everybody's been talking about this creepy stare that Bran has for the whole season, but he just stares at him. And then if you look at the Night King, after a minute he kind of tilts his head like, what? You know, like he's trying to figure out what Bran is going to do, because Bran is sitting there just calm. He hasn't said nothing, he hasn't moved, he's just sitting there like, okay, do what you're going to do. And I really think that at that moment Bran knew what was going to happen. He knew that the Night King was going to die. He just had to kind of
wait it out.
He had faith in his sister, that his sister was going to come through. I don't know, but it was weird, because the Night King was just standing there looking at him. Then he kind of cocks his head. You know how a dog cocks his head like,
yeah.
And it's kind of like with the Night King, he just kind of cocks his head very slightly, like he was confused. And I guess he was like, oh, okay, you're not going to say nothing, you're not going to do anything, you're not going to bet for your life, okay, I'm going to go ahead and kill you. And as soon as he reached back there, that's when Arya came and delivered that nice kill shot. And it's just like, everything, like, it was a ripple effect that was amazing.
Because what was Jon Snow even doing this whole time? Was he trying to get on the blue fire breathing dragon?
I don't think he was trying to get on the Viserion. I think he was trying to get close enough maybe to kill him, because he was already hurt.
Oh.
You know, from his encounter with Drogon, because when Viserion and Rhaegal were fighting, they both injured each other. If you looked at Viserion when he was standing on the ramparts blowing fire, he had fire coming out of several holes in his neck as well.
Mm.
So he was all damaged. He was already hurt. And I think Jon was either trying to get to him to kill him, or he was just trying to get out there to help fight. I don't know. But of course, Viserion was trying to attack him, so he couldn't really do anything. And I think at the end, he was just kind of like, okay, you know what? I'm going to stop running from you. I'm going to scream at you, and then I'm going to fight you, and I'm going to do whatever.
Yeah, I saw that. I was just like, so he screamed at him. What is that going to do? And I was just like, it saved us from seeing Jon Snow do something dumb, because I felt like he was scrambling around in that same place, like how when Rick Grimes was running around in that damn van for a damn 30 minutes on that one episode of Walking Dead.
I think he was just trying to find a way to get back into the battle. Because if he went one direction, here's some White Walkers, and then he goes into another direction, and the dragon knew he was there, so the dragon is sitting there. You got to remember, Jon's a Targaryen. That dragon is still a Targaryen dragon.
Yeah.
So that dragon probably sensed him being there. But of course, now that it's a part of the dead, his goal or his mission is to kill Jon. So I think it was just a matter of trying to get into position to do something, but also watching the post show with the writers. They said something about initially they didn't want John to be the hero, because John is the one who usually comes through in the clutch. He's usually the one that kind of saves the day, and they didn't want to make it that predictable for this episode, which is really what I thought. I thought that John was the one, because he was the one who was so focused on getting to Bran in the Godswood. I thought that he was going to be the one to come and fight the Night King again or something like that. So I think it was also just kind of a diversion for us to give Arya time to go do what she had to do.
I guess so. It worked out. What else?
It did. There were some other really, really good moments that weren't necessarily battle mode for the moment. I loved the exchange between Sansa and Tyrion.
Oh yeah, that was good.
The exchange before the bones started coming out of the crypts, and then the exchange when they kind of realized that they were hiding behind the crypt. They realized there was nothing more that they could do, and then they share this look, and then Sansa pulls out her blade and looks at Tyrion, and he looks at her. He pulls out his blade, and then before they rush out, he takes her hand and he kisses it. And I was like, "Oh, this is nice," because I've already said I would really like it if Sansa and Tyrion remain married or whatever, because I think they would be a good team together. So that was nice, and then to have for them to go out and try to defend everyone, I think that was again really, really. I think that really spoke to their characters. Especially for Tyrion, because all anybody ever looks at him is he's a dwarf and he's a Lannister. So most
he literally fought in that one freaking battle, and he was badass in it.
Yeah, but people always either underestimate Tyrion or they expect something else from him because of who he is and who he was, the family he was born to. So it was really nice for him to have that moment to be like, okay, you know what? If we die, we die, but we're going to go out defending. We're not going to sit here and hide. And I like that whole thing. Now, the thing that tripped me out about those things coming out the crypt, I really thought we were going to see Ned Stark. I was really worried.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. But you know what, though? I've been hearing that particular rumor on the internet. Or, just like, watch out for the crypt. You have to realize everybody went to a crypt and a da-da-da could raise a dead. So I expected it. But I was sitting with my roommate, and when it started to happen and stuff starts scratching on the crypts and stuff, and she was just like, what is happening? I don't understand. I had to touch her and I had to hold my hand and, embrace her. I was like, girl, they are in a crypt. And she yelled. She was like, oh, no, what is going on? It was so funny.
that was the thing I kept referring to last week, but I didn't want to say it.
Then you must have said it, because it was not, you were not subtle, ma'am, at all.
I tried.
You were not subtle.
I thought it was going to be worse off than it was, though. So. I mean, but I mean, there were a lot of people who died. I mean,
it was, but you know, our characters that we know, I feel like they all got off easy because it was just not nearly the bloodbath that I was expecting. I'm not disappointed by any stretch, right?
Well, how much more? I mean, Leanna Mormont got killed by a giant and then turned into a White Walker, which I still love the way that she went out because she was like, I'm going to fight. And she's sitting there yelling commands and she's doing everything. And this giant comes in and knocks her out or knocks her over. And she still gets up to fight. And I was so impressed.
Because she's like, a fucking Mormon. And that's how they roll. So people right. I wanted to die because we thought that the Red Witch was dying, that Lord Varys would die on the same day that she died. And no, she...
I don't think... She never said that they were dying in the same day. She said they were both dying in that country. So yeah. So he okay. still has... We still have, what, 3 episodes?
That's so true. Yeah,
I think he's going to die. He's either going to die on the way to King's Landing, or he's going to die in King's Landing.
Probably in. Somebody's going to get to him. So then I thought that both Gendry and Podrick, I thought they were going to bite it. They didn't. We got Beric Dondarrion out of the way. That was somebody. But I thought we were really going to see Grey Worm bite it. I think he'll probably bite it in at least by the end of the season. Jorah Mormont, I thought, yeah. Because I thought Brienne was gone a few times because she went down a couple of times.
I did too. But I mean, the way that they shot the scenes is like some of the major ones that I thought several times during the episode that they were gone because they were just overpowered. But I mean, they were killing it.
So I have a if these zombie bites, you just don't die. They can do whatever they want to, but it's just not an infection, right? It's like they can't.
I don't think so.
Right. So that was the difference.
Yeah.
That was a very big difference that I noticed and I hadn't noticed before, that there's, yeah, they might come after you biting and stuff like that, but it's not an infection, which I thought was cool because they can kind of get overrun, but as long as they didn't actually kill them, it's fine. They can, yeah.
Yeah, because if you think about it, now that I think about it, the Eastwatch episode from last season, Thoros of Myr was mauled by that walker, that bear.
Yeah,
and he didn't die from the bear wound. He died because he froze to death.
Mm.
You know, he was probably already, you know, weakened from the injury, but that it didn't kill him.
Yeah.
So yeah, Jorah's death. Okay, so I really thought at one point, I thought right before Jorah showed up to save her, I thought that Dany was about to get it. I really did. Just because the quick way those walkers around her kind of raised up and they were advancing on her. And then, of course, Jorah comes to save the day and Dany actually picks up a weapon and she's trying to fight too. And Jorah held off a lot of them, but they just started, like, he got stabbed at least 6 times and he kept getting up to defend his queen. Like, that man was like, oh no, I'm protecting her. This is what I'm supposed to do. I'm protecting her. And notice that he did not die until that last walker was dead, you know, and he laid down and he died. And Dany was like overly emotional. The doggone dragon was emotional. I mean, he died exactly the way I figured he would, dying to protect her. But still, it was sad for me because Jorah has been one of my favorite characters from like the beginning. So that bothered me.
I mean, but we knew he was going to get it. My thing is that when he went out, and I think maybe he went out kind of on the tail of the Dothraki, but he came back. I thought he was a walker then because he looked like he had been through some shit.
I did too.
Because it's like, was his face messed up or something?
Right. Right, because a few of them came back, and they came back. They didn't say anything. They just kept going. I was like, are they walkers? Like, are they part of the dead now? But I, you know, and I kept looking at Jorah's face, and his eyes weren't glowing blue. So I was like, okay, I guess this is still Jorah, because that would have hurt me if he would have turned. Like, that would have just been awful. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, that Dothraki scene, though. Like, and all this other stuff, and then all of a sudden, you just kind of see the lights extinguishing, and I just sat in my chair, and I went, damn. Oh, shit. And that means at some point during this episode, we're going to have Dothraki White Walkers.
Yep.
Whoa.
Yep.
And I think she had, what, 2,000? Was it 2,000 Dothraki?
Maybe she, they had. More? So just think about this army that they amassed. It was huge, and if they were fighting against humans, like if that army would have gone to King's Landing, they would have won. Yeah. Because they had a lot of firepower, a lot of manpower. They had moats with fire sticks and all types of shit, and I was just like, this, they were well armed, just not for an army of dead people.
I mean, I think even for that, they were kind of well armed, because all of them had dragon glass weapons, but I think it was just those white walkers just overpowered them. And it's just kind of like the way that they came at them that first time when we saw them, like it's almost like they were riding piggybacks in threes and fours, because they were stacked like a wall coming towards them. That freaked me out. That did freak me out. I was like, whoa, what am I watching? Like, what the hell is this?
Some of it got just a tiny bit cheesy when they started to climb the skeletons started to climb the castle walls. I was just like, okay, is this Evil Dead Army of Darkness or what? Like, what is Bruce Campbell going to come out with a damn chainsaw on his arm? Because this is getting a little wacky. So some of it kind of took me out of it, because, you know, I don't know, it was just looking weird. But
it was possible. I saw what was it, 28 days later, World War Z. So that didn't, and again, like I said, they were being controlled by the Night King, and the Night King, like, literally somehow subliminally told them how to get across the fire to the castle. So why wouldn't he tell them, yeah, y'all just keep climbing each other? I mean, why not?
I don't know. I mean, these guys were relentless. They did not stop. And after, I just like the scene where they're tearing through all the White Walkers. They got like a whole bunch of them stacked up. They're doing their job. And then all of a sudden, there's this moment, everybody started to rise again. And it was just like, they were just like, you know, I can't. They were just done. Right. They were just, right. They were, and I was done too, because I was just like, so you're going to die trying to fight these people that you just killed them. You don't want to kill them again. Why? Right. It was exhausting for them. And we felt it. Yeah. And I like that.
Yes. It was one of those. I actually looked at the clock halfway through, and I'm like, oh my God, we still have 45 minutes. What in the world? Like, I can't see any more death and destruction. Like, I mean, Winterfell is like torn apart.
Understatement. Like, it's in ruins.
Like, it's a mess. And it's funny, because I was looking at the promos last night with my daughter. We were looking at the promos that were released prior to the season starting, and there's one promo called The Battle of Winterfell Aftermath, and it's just basically showing Winterfell in the snow after the battle. So you see like random objects around, you see needles sticking in a box, and you see Bran's wheelchair smashed at the bottom of the rampart stairs, and you see Jaime's hand in the snow, and you see Daenerys's chain on one of the wagons. So I was just kind of like, oh my God, what in the world? Like, they are not going to, they can't kill all of these people at the Battle of Winterfell. Like, they can't do it. There will be no show left, because who's going to go down and defy Cersei? But it was just so weird thinking about that and kind of like expecting those deaths. And I'm glad we didn't get those yet, but I do still think we're going to have some people die once they get down to King's Landing. I don't think, you know, there's a clip from the teaser from the trailers where Cersei is sitting in the throne room and she's got tears in her eyes and she's drinking wine. I'm like, something is worrying her. So I don't know if it's
well, she must have lost the baby if she's drinking wine.
Back then they drank wine with everything. So she drank wine when she was talking to Tyrion and told Tyrion that she was pregnant. But I wonder if it's the fact that she finds out that they defeated the Army of the Dead and they're now coming for her. Because, I mean, think about it. If you can defeat an army of dead,
then they don't. They have no fear right now. Right. No fear.
Or at least not for Cersei, because they're like, hey, we can kill dead people. What is she?
I know. So they are fearless right now, because if I had been through that, oh, man. Oh, no. Yeah. They wouldn't. Cersei couldn't tell me shit.
I need them to take a break, though. They need to, like, get some rest.
Yeah.
They need to do some recuperation, because Cersei's not going anywhere. Cersei's not going to come north. She's going to wait for them to get to her.
Yeah.
So I need them to make sure that both dragons are okay. I don't know what happened to Rhaegar. I don't know if he's dead. When I go back and rewatch the episode, maybe I have a better idea. But I know he was hurt, and I know he crashed and not John off of him, but like I said, I don't know if that was a permanent thing or not.
Yeah, it was.
So we'll see. Hopefully Dany still has two dragons. I mean, but even if she doesn't, even if Rhaegal is dead, she still has Drogon, and he's always been the strongest of the three. So
yeah, and I'm so glad he shook off those dudes, because I was scared for him.
Girl, that stressed me out so bad.
It stressed me because they were like, that was World War Z right there on that dragon.
Yes.
And I was just like, how do they know to do that? Is he going to swim in some water? Because that is the only way he's going to shake those dudes.
They were stabbing them and
they were shanking him like they were in prison. I was just, I couldn't understand.
I think they were really trying to get to her.
Whoa.
So I think they were trying to get to her.
Mission not accomplished. I don't know. But
what else are we missing? The Night's Watch no longer has a Lord Commander, because Dolores Ed did it in the battle.
Yeah.
Which I think I kind of expected him to die as well.
I just didn't know his name, right? But or did I have his? I don't remember if I had his name. But yeah, he was one of the ones that I thought would bite it. I thought what?
It wouldn't make sense for him to go down to King's Landing. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, I think his story arc being on the wall, I mean, The Night's Watch, their mission has always been to protect the Seven Kingdoms from what's beyond the wall, meaning the White Walkers. So
he did a piss poor job of it. I'm cracking jokes.
Well, you know, when you have a three-eyed raven in training who does unauthorized time jumps, and gets marked by the Night King, that kind of defeats whatever protections you have in place.
I guess.
So, yeah.
Well, they really made a mess of it.
Here's my other question. Because we saw him going out into the forest with the rest of the Dothraki and with Jorah. Where the hell is Ghost? That's what I need to know.
I was just going to ask you where Ghost was. I don't know where Ghost is.
Because he rode out into the forest with the Dothraki.
I thought he was with Jorah.
Jorah went into the forest with the Dothraki.
Well, okay, then, yes, he was.
Jorah come back. I don't recall seeing Ghost come back.
I don't recall. Did Ghost. I thought Ghost went to the crypt.
I don't think so. Ghost was charging on the snow.
But yeah, I don't know why. I think like he was in the snow. He was charging, but then somehow I remember him in the crypt. But I could be misremembering there. So yeah, I don't know.
I remember when I saw him running towards the forest. I was like, no, Ghost, go back, go back, go back.
I know
back,
he's
back.
The last freaking direwolf we have. So
right,
except for Arya's, who's somewhere in the woods.
Yeah, Nymeria. I don't think we're going to see Nymeria again.
Oh,
I don't think so, but
it's fine.
I'm trying to think anything that we...
So you said something about Melisandre. You were going to get into that later.
I just feel like when... I feel like maybe some of what she went through was a consequence of whatever happened with Stannis. And, you know, because she used her magic to help Stannis. And I don't know, I just kind of feel like maybe after what happened with Princess Shireen, you notice that after that, she lost a little bit of faith in her own power or her own sense of why she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the beginning of was it season six, when we saw her take the necklace off and she was this old, old woman. You know, I think what we know of supernatural and magical stories and, you know, everything, magic always comes with a price. And I just think that necklace was probably helping to keep her alive so that she could fulfill whatever purpose she had from the Lord of Light. And I think once she came back to Winterfell, she did what she was supposed to do. Maybe she was the person who was supposed to put that kind of bug in Arya's head to kind of reboot her, if you will, to make her remember, oh, you are not the scared. You're not scared, Arya Stark. You are the Arya Stark that trained with the most famous sword master in Braavos, who trained in the house of the House of No Faces, or wherever the No Face men trained. So it's kind of like, I think she was there to kind of put that bug in Arya's ear and fulfill that purpose. And then once she did that, she was like, I have nothing else to do. It's done. It's over for me. Let me go ahead and die. And I just think that she fulfilled whatever purpose she was supposed to fulfill. Because think about it, at this point now, they've defeated the dead. What else is there left for her to do? She can't stay in the north because she's been exiled. So there really is nothing else for her to do, you know?
I mean, she could just roam the land, just chill out in some mountains or some shit. I mean, she didn't have to do all that.
I think she paid whatever debt was owed.
I didn't think we were gonna see her, and her entrance was very random, but she helped with fire, and she did a good thing. I think her lighting the Dothraki knives on fire, it gave them a little bit of extra adrenaline and hope, and they kind of got pumped up. And then
when they couldn't get the trenches lit.
Yeah, that was really cool, because I was just like, yeah. But my only thing too is like, you have a castle, why the fuck you don't have a moat with alligators in it? Like, that is always a feature of castles, is that you have a deep ass moat with goddamn alligators. Duh.
Do you really want White Walker alligators? Because if we saw, they can...
Why would you do that to my dream of moats and alligators, and then you just piss on it with a White Walker alligator?
I'm just saying, you saw what the White Walkers were doing. No, they would have turned the alligators...
They didn't turn the horses.
Huh?
They didn't turn the horses.
Yeah, they did. Think about the horses that the White Walkers were riding on. They were all dead horses.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, Yeah, they turn animals.
I guess
animals.
They were beating dead horses.
I think we may have seen a dog or two turned. I know we've seen a couple of polar bears. So, yeah. No, we do not need, we do not need alligator white. No.
All no. right. I guess. Yeah, no, I mean.
We'll keep that dream in there.
All right. Well, at least a moat.
What else?
Let's see. It's a lot.
I think we pretty much touched on everybody. Who else was on the Deadpool, like, as far as leading? Cause, like,
let me run down the Deadpool. So Theon Greyjoy, Podrick, Night King's Generals, Jorah Mormont, Grey Worm, Brienne of Tarth, Beric Dondarrion, Lady Mormont, Gilly, she didn't die, Edison Toilette, Sandor the Hound, Jaime Lannister, I thought he bit it a few times.
Yeah.
Gilly's son did not bite it. Bran Stark surprisingly did not bite it. Gendry, who I put in parentheses, bastard cherry popper, did not bite it.
I love it.
Lord Varys, I really wanted him to bite it.
I think Lord Varys dies. You know what? He's going to die in King's Landing, and he's probably, I don't know. Maybe he's going to die by the same children that killed Grand Maester, Maester Pycelle.
Maybe. I thought it was interesting that nobody thought Nymeria, Ghost, or Sansa would die. Like, nobody voted for them.
I really want Sansa to be the one to kill Cersei. So, no, I knew she wasn't going to die. I have to hold on to that. I just think it will be poetic justice for Sansa.
I think I'd like it for Jaime or Tyrion, but it's fine. Like, few people thought that Tyrion and Samwell and Daenerys would die. Well, only one person voted for Missandei. I think it was me. Some people thought the Night King would die. Jon Snow, I mean, he got like only two votes. Same with Davos and Arya and Drogon. But you know who did die. You know who didn't die. You know who didn't die. Ginger Boo.
Oh yeah, of course. And I thought he was gonna bite it a couple of times.
Yeah, he had it. I thought he was gone. I was just like, come on, Ginger Boo.
I was stressed, but I will say I am so glad Sir Davos didn't die. Like, Sir Davos is my boy. I'm so glad he didn't die.
Yeah,
because I was worried.
Because him and kind of Jorah, they're kind of cranky old men of the bunch, and we kind of need them both, but I'm glad we got half the cranky old man team, so I thought, because my imagining was that Ginger Boo and Brienne were going to be like fighting back to back. Somebody was going to go down and somebody was going to be hovered over somebody, kissing him and professing their love. Turns out to be Jorah and Daenerys doing that. But, you know, I have hope I'm totally shipping Ginger Boo and Brienne.
So. I ship them too, but I really think she's going to end up with Jaime if she ends up
that
with
doesn't
Jaime.
Make sense to me. Does not make sense. It's a little weird too for me, honestly.
It's not weird for me. I'm kind of excited about the fact that Jaime is in love with someone other than his sister. So
I don't think he's in love. I feel like he feels this is like sisterly or some shit.
I need you to go back and look at every episode
that felt sisterly.
Jesus.
That felt sisterly.
All over his
I mean, he
face.
Literally, I guess him feeling sisterly about somebody means that he wants to have sex because he literally has sex with his sister. So, yeah, he wants her.
Even at Joffrey's wedding, you could tell. That's more than just lust. So, yeah, he's in love with her. Go back and look at that.
Looking at shite.
Yeah, go back and look at last week's episode.
I shall not, ma'am.
That's why Tormund was being so extra, because he even looked back and forth between the two of them, and I think he could tell that there was something there.
I know, he was trying to be so manly, bless him. I was just like, oh, he's trying to peacock his way.
He's trying to her. He was trying to impress her and distract her from Jamie.
But then Jamie was like, yes, I will knight you, though. And, like, okay, that tops his weird giant story.
Look at the way Jamie, look at the way she and Jamie look at each other when she stands up after she's knighted.
It just felt like a mutual respect.
No. Mm-mm.
But there is a mutual respect.
There is a mutual respect, but there's something more than that between them.
I mean, but they're warriors. There's something between that, between all of people who fight together and almost die together. I don't think it's love. Like, I cannot see.
Obvious.
I just can't see it. This is like Mulder and Scully pre them making out. Like, when it was just like a really deep love for each other that was not sexual. What'd you say?
Take a bet on this one. I think we need to take a bet on this one.
A bet? Oh, you know, I like it. I like that. Okay. So, what is it then?
I say that they are in love with each other, that Jamie and Brienne are in love with each other. And
so how would we find that? Would they kiss or, like, how is that?
I don't know if they're going to be, like, together because, like, they're literally going from one war to another. But I think at some point before one or both of them kick it, their feelings will be obviously, it will be stated for everyone. Maybe that's why Cersei was drinking and crying, because she realized Jamie was in love with someone else. But yeah,
well, maybe that might happen, but I think there's the deep love. But I think that either Jamie or Brienne is gonna die, and whoever dies is gonna end up, or whoever lives is gonna end up with Ginger Boo. Be it Jamie. Wait. That's not making sense. Wait. Whatever.
Okay. So, quick question. Did you see the previews for next week's episode?
Kinda, but it was a lot. I was spent. You know, I was just like, it was too much. I couldn't. Tell me.
Looks like Euron is gonna officially propose to Cersei next week.
Oh, yes, I remember that now that you say it. Yeah, I just thought he was being dramatic. I don't think that anything's gonna come of that. I feel like she might kill him.
I don't know. I mean, think about it. She doesn't have anybody else now. She literally has nobody else but Qyburn. Like, the Qyburn and the Mountain. Those are the only two people who are loyal to her. Those are the only two people that she has that she can count on. Because she, you know, her ride or die, she basically tried to kill him, and now he's fighting with Winterfell. So she has somebody else.
Well, whatever. We'll see what happens, but, man. I just expected this White Walker thing. I mean, this is literally the foundation of the entire show, kind of, the White Walkers. And for them to get taken out in one episode, whew, talk about blowing your load.
It was a long episode. It was the longest episode in Game of Thrones history.
Well,
they've never had an episode that long.
I mean, you know, they rode around in the van a while, though, on some of that shit.
We are not talking.
You know what? We should wrap this up. This has been cool. I got to work in the morning. And you know what? I'm glad we got it out, because there's this one person at work who comes in and she is vomiting Game of Thrones all over everybody. And I kind of am never in the mood for it on a Monday, because I'm just like, I just did this already. I want to eat my bagel, have my damn coffee. But she's a spoiler, so I know I have to watch it the night before she go like, blah, blah, blah. So I'm glad we got to get it all out today, right after the show.
Gotcha.
So any final thoughts, any predictions, maybe who's gonna die next episode?
I don't even know. Like I said, they have three more episodes. I'll be honest, I don't think they're gonna give us a death so soon after this massive battle. We have to have time to mourn these characters. So if we see any other deaths, I don't think it's going to be until the fifth episode, which will be good because I won't be able to watch next week's episode live.
Ugh. Yeah, so disappointing.
I probably won't get to watch it until next Thursday.
Whatever. She's going to be like having fun on a cruise.
Yeah.
So whatever. On that note, we're going to wrap this show up. We have a website. It's sci-fipartyline.com. We are on Facebook and Twitter. You can give us a voicemail at 773-336-2686. We're on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. And thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the show. And we will see you at the party next time. For the throne.
Bye.
Seriously, you're not going to go for the throne? No? All right, that's fine.
Yep.
Nope.
If you think this has a happy ending, you haven't been paying attention.